This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning, Moed Tov. How are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, Moedim Lesimcha. I hope that Pesach is going all right for everybody out there. Quite a few snippets, seeing as we've had a long weekend and many events that have been going on over the weekend. The first of which is really good news. A sporting story, Hapoel Tel Aviv basketball team won the Euro Cup basketball tournament on Friday by beating the team from the Gran Canaria, to win their first ever Euro Cup basketball tournament. And this is a major achievement for Hapoel Tel Aviv when you consider that their home games in the tournament all had to be played away from home. There were no games that were played on home ground due to the ongoing war and security situation where teams from abroad don't want to come and visit here. So they played their home games in Hungary. Wow. And of course then visited the home teams, home courts, and nonetheless managed to come home with the title. So a really great achievement. And this means that they will be joining their cross-town rivals, Maccabi Tel Aviv, in next year's Euro League, which is the higher level, the Euro Cup, which Hapoel Tel Aviv won. It's kind of the second tier basketball tournament in Europe. Still a great achievement for them. Another piece of news, a slightly less good, is the death of Reuma Weitzman, whose husband, Ezer Weitzman, was Israel's seventh president. And that goes back a few years. Reuma Weitzman died eventually at the age of 99 years old. And she was quite a remarkable lady, many, many achievements along the way, aside from being the wife of the president. But of course, our condolences go to the family, the Weitzman family. She will be buried in Or Akiva Cemetery alongside where her husband is buried. And just along the whole a Pesach theme, I thought it would be appropriate to relate to listeners some of the words that came out from an interview that was conducted with former hostage Agam Berger. Mm-hmm. And she was speaking about her time in captivity, particularly in relation to Pesach last year, when she was being held in an apartment in Gaza, and she was being held with Liri Albag. And she said that Liri was the person that she was held with for most of her time in captivity. And some of the things that they got up to in order to mark the Chagim, to mark the Jewish holidays. First of all, she was asked how they knew the dates of the Chagim. And she said, well, they asked the terrorists who were holding them to give them information about the dates. And at times, they sort of had to guess. They weren't quite sure exactly when it was, and so they just made a guess. And for Pesach, she says that Liri prepared some illustrations. They had a notebook in their apartment, and Liri made some Pesach-related illustrations in this notebook. She took pages from the notebook. She drew pictures of Pesach, and then she hid those illustrations away from Agam, and on Seder night presented it to her as a sort of Haggadah. Instead of a Haggadah, this was what they had, which was the illustrations that Liri had put together. And then she said, we tried to make the holidays festive as possible. Liri took some aluminium foil that was in the flat where they were being held, and she put it on the table because aluminium and foil somehow.
Yes, makes us all think of our home Pesach, yes.
Exactly. Mm. Aluminium foil, tin foil and Pesach somehow seem to go together. And so they put this aluminium foil on the table and they put some serviettes down and they try to make sure there was a little bit more food than normal. She said in her house at home, they eat kitniot on Pesach, they eat legumes, and so there was rice and they ate some rice. And she said after the meal, they went over the booklet that Liri had prepared. We hardly had anything to make a bracha on, to make a blessing on, she said. But we did have a bit of charoset, which was the chopped up food that we eat, which symbolizes the cement that was used during the time, the days in Egypt, in order to build the pyramids. We have the charoset, which is mostly made of apple and some wine, and it's chopped up together. And she said that they made their charoset out of dates. They had a few dates in the apartment, and they prepared the charoset. And she said, I remember that we placed a chair for Elijah the prophet at the side of the room in order to try and create the atmosphere that they were accustomed to from home. So as we think of 557 days in captivity for those 59 who still are not home yet for Pesach, let's try and get into what Liri and Agam went through when they tried to make Pesach together. Just incredible story.
Really an incredible story. It's reported that Israel's latest proposal for a hostage release and ceasefire has been rejected by Hamas. Now, do we know what's been rejected?
Well, we've had some reports of what's been rejected. And I know that for some listeners, people might think that this is kind of boring and we've heard a lot of it before. But I think it's important to talk about it because I wish people to understand that Israel is making major efforts to try to somehow come to an agreement to get the hostages released and to reach a ceasefire, the two of which really do go together. And just to give an idea of how difficult this is, let's try and talk a little bit about some of the things that Israel has actually suggested and what has been rejected. So Israel's suggestion apparently revolves around a 45-day ceasefire, which would involve the release of 15 Israeli hostages, 9 of them living, and therefore, of course, 6 bodies to be returned, out of a total of 59. So 15 out of 59 is not even near to half of the Israeli hostages who should be released, and that should take place over a 45-day period. And the idea is that on day one, Idan Alexander would be released. He has a certain special status because he is an American citizen as well, and it's considered to be like a special gesture to the United States for them to release him. So he's kind of being held up in a certain special way. And then following the release of Idan Alexander on day one, on day two, there would be the release of a further 9 hostages. A further 6 hostages would be released. But that would come in exchange for 66 prisoners, Palestinian prisoners, who are serving life sentences, and another 611 terrorists from Gaza who have been arrested over the past year and a half. And that the idea is, the demand is that the hostages would be released without any show of force or ceremonies that Hamas put other hostages through over the previous hostage releases. That's certainly one of the terms of the agreement. And then after that, the proposal is that there will be a distribution of aid into Gaza, that they would allow civilians the aid would be allowed to reach civilians and not be hoarded Hamas. That's one of the conditions that Israel has laid down. And that after the release of the initial hostages, tools and equipment, as well as the humanitarian aid, will be brought to provide shelter for Gazans, and that the IDF will also begin redeploying away from certain areas where the IDF is deployed at the moment, such as Rafah and other areas, the Philadelphia corridor, for example. And then after that, there will be a further release of hostages and a further release of bodies being held up to the total in the end of 9 living hostages and 6 bodies. That will take place at a later stage during this 45-day period. And this will come, of course, with the release of more prisoners. 500 Palestinian Arabs who've been arrested since October the 7th will be released after that. So what's the then, of course, there will also be discussions about the day after. During this 45-day period, a more permanent ceasefire will be agreed upon, that eventually all the remaining hostages and bodies will be released. Also, during the 45-day period, there was a demand about getting information about those hostages who are still alive, receiving more information about their status. So this is really the nature of Israel's deal that has been proposed to Hamas and been rejected. Now, the question is, why has it been rejected? Mm. And the official statement from Hamas says that Hamas will not agree to disarm in any deal. The Hamas will not agree to disarm.
Well, but does that mean
disarm?
That they simply haven't yet got to the point that they've accepted defeat, that they're still just simply not there yet?
They are far from the point that they accept defeat. They still can see themselves being an armed ruler over Gaza after the end of this war. That's the way that they're trying to play this game. And Israel's position is clear, that Hamas will not rule over Gaza after the end of this war, and there will certainly be no arms available to anybody in Gaza after the end of this war. Now, if people out there who are being critical of Israel think that those two demands are unreasonable for whatever reason, then they will, of course, continue to criticize Israel, because there's no constellation that I can envisage where Israel will agree to allow an armed Hamas to continue to rule over Gaza after we've been through all of this right now. I just can't see that happening. Mm. And I think that there is full justification for not allowing that to happen, given all that has gone on and given Hamas's statements, which says, we will do October the 7th again and again and again. Anybody who hasn't heard that is not listening.
Absolutely. I mean, they're making it clear. It can't be any more clear than that. So I guess this just continues as it was, up and down negotiations, pressure on Hamas, pressure militarily, pressure politically, and until it reaches some form of agreement.
Well, I think that potential breaking points may come via more U.S. pressure. And I'm not quite sure what levers the U.S. government still have to be able to pull in order to make this happen. But we certainly saw that pressure when the Trump administration assumed office. They somehow applied pressure, and that did result in the release of some of the hostages. Israel has tried some other tactics in order to apply pressure, including the limitation of the delivery of humanitarian aid, the limitation of where civilians can be within the Gaza Strip, military activities, limiting the movement of civilians in the Gaza Strip, all designed to try to place more and more pressure in order to somehow create a breaking point where Hamas will be willing to say, okay, we will give in at least for now. Who knows what the longer-term arrangement is, but at least given for now, to agree to another release of hostages. But that seems to me to be the only way to break this paradigm, where we seem to be stuck in a circular motion of making proposals and being rejected, and nobody wanting to get out of this this circular thing that seems to be never-ending. And so somehow we need something just to come in and break it and to change the current situation, in order to convince Hamas that they need to move another step forward. But just another proposal doesn't seem to be the answer right now.
Nuclear talks took place between the US and Iran in Oman. That was over the weekend. Any progress here?
Well, I'm not sure. And lots of conflicting information coming out of Oman. So definitely talks took place in Oman. If you believe the Iranian side of the story, then the US team sat in one room and the Iranian team sat in a separate room. And there was the so-called shuttle diplomacy that took place using the Oman ministers who were shuttling between the two parties. There does seem to have been at least one brief meeting between the two sides, the Iranian side and the US side. And I'm not sure, one of the reports that I read suggested that that was right at the end of the day when the negotiations had been completed. They sort of came together and met together. The Iranians, of course, are playing this down. They wouldn't want anybody to feel that they are in direct negotiations with the US over this nuclear program at all. And the Iranians are really digging in their heels and not willing to budge an inch in terms of giving up on their nuclear aspirations. Then it was agreed that there would be another meeting, we understood, in another week. So that means this coming Saturday. And there are reports that suggest that that meeting will take place in Rome. Now, in the meantime, I saw that further meetings have been taking place in Oman even yesterday. So I'm not sure exactly what all of that means. But one thing I do know is that US President Donald Trump continues to say the Iranians will be held responsible for any failure of these nuclear talks. He's not willing to contemplate the prospect of Iran managing to get nuclear arms under any circumstances. And if they don't agree to that, then there will be consequences. I've also seen that what the US president has in mind is to allow Israel to take the forefront of any potential military attack that might take place against Iran. We've also seen reports that the US has been arming Israel, that many, many arms and ammunition, many plane loads of arms and ammunition have been flown into Israel to support Israel's military effort. Whether some of those arms and ammunition are designed for an attack against Iran remains yet to be seen and to be understood. But President Trump is certainly still holding this sword of Damocles over Iran, saying that if these talks don't succeed, and he's frustrated that we have to wait another week until the next round of talks take place. Why is it going to take so long? That was the response from President Trump. It doesn't need to take that long. So he seems quite impatient and quite determined that the Iranians will finally capitulate and will agree not to continue their arms production, the nuclear arm production, and that somehow the nuclear arms production system will be destroyed. All of that still remains to be seen, but at least there are these discussions going on in the background, and we all hope that somehow they will produce the required result. I still suspect that military attacks, military effort might be required in this particular scenario.
Anthony Reich, thank you as always. 7:45, we'll catch Anthony tomorrow. At 8 o'clock, we'll catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com. See you.